The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. It is approaching 4 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 14th of November, 2023. How are you all keeping out there? I do hope you're very well. We're going to keep you informed and entertained, hopefully over the next 3 hours, so stick with us and throughout the day here on your number one local radio station, Highland Radio. Lots to get through, lots to discuss. We want you involved in those conversations or starting your own. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, and you can send in your WhatsApp voice notes as well if you prefer to comment on the issues that way. You can give us a call on 07491 25,000, or if you prefer, comments@highlandradio.com. and if you're calling from outside the Republic, of course, we still, in this day and age, with everything that's going on, still have these international dialing codes. But anyway, 00353, you drop the first O and then away with the rest of the number. So we want you involved wherever you are. And just to remind you that you can join us on your TV to watch the show on YouTube, your smart TV or your Fire Stick with the YouTube app. Just search Highland Radio Ireland, and we're on Facebook too, across all your devices. On they got rid of it on the Fire Stick, which is unfortunate, and the TV. But anyway, YouTube is there. It's good. We're going to be showing you some images in a moment of a video that emerged overnight that purports to be of St. Connell's Hospital in Letterkenny. Now, we are making inquiries to try and fully ascertain the background and the origin of these pics. But it was a video that was posted onto TikTok by a person who confirmed to me that it is, in fact, at St. Connell's Hospital. And inside, or on this video, there is images of many, many, many boxes, which it's claimed contain medical files. And in some cases, there are close-up images of these medical files that the video maker claims is shot within St. Connell's Hospital. There's x-rays and other personal information. There's talk of ENTs and what have you. So it would appear that these are documents coming from an acute hospital and not St. Connell's Hospital itself. And what we have made inquiries to the HSE is to, is this still the case? Are these boxes still stored in this fashion? How could somebody gain access to it? Is this an appropriate way to store these medical files? It appears that these may well have been medical files that were damaged, flood damaged. But even if that is the case, there is private information there that could pertain to people that are still alive, that are still undergoing treatment. So, as I say, we are waiting for confirmation from the HSC, for a reaction from them. We've contacted the hospital as well. I have been contacted by sources close to the hospital, let me put it like that. They say it certainly was the case that these boxes were stored, as it appears, in this video. It is just yet to be fully determined whether or not this is still the case. But we'll show that video and that footage. We're doing it right now, but for those that you want to tune in on the social media to see a little later on. But at this point, we're just saying if this is the case, it's very troubling. But it is possible that this video is not brand new either. OK, so we have to be careful in that. But we do also have to recognise that if it is the case, it's really quite serious. And that's why we are contacting the HSE just to try and determine what is going on there. 086 60 25,000 if you want to comment on that. But let's get to the newspapers this morning. And it's almost typical, isn't it? RTE has put together a plan to cut costs, to reform the business going forward. It involves the reduction of 400 staff and some cuts in services. But unfortunately, the staff themselves, it is they that learned this information from the newspapers, because they haven't been given sight of this report yet. And before I read on, and maybe you out there have different points of view, it just seems, I just wonder what the public want, in that this all started because of people being paid an awful lot of money, a handful or big group of people being paid an awful lot of money, and that payment of that money not being as transparent as it should be. It's the payment scandal, you know that. And from that, fast forward a couple of months, it's regular staff, you know, on your, you know, 28,000 euro a year that probably are going to lose their jobs, whilst the people who you could argue triggered this controversy or their colleagues on really, really big money will be pretty much insulated from it, which I think it just, I'm not sure if that's what the public wants, or maybe it is. I'll read on here. RTE has told the government it will reduce staff numbers by 20% or 400 people, sharply increase spending on independent productions, cut some services and examine the sale of part of the Donnybrook campus. A new strategic plan for the broadcaster also acknowledged that RTE must progressively reduce costs and overheads to overcome the financial crisis that has engulfed it since the revelation of additional payments to its former presenter Ryan Tuberty earlier this year. The plan promises to reduce costs by a further 10 million in 2024, to institute a new approach to financial management, to begin the process of reducing headcount by 20%, and to vacate part of the Donnybrook campus with a view to employing or exploring a sale or other commercial use. It rules out as uneconomic a sale of the entire campus and a move elsewhere for the station, but says that it will begin the process of moving some production from Dublin to the regions. But where are they? Of course, Cork, Limerick and Galway, nothing north of the Galway line there. It aims to have increased production at Limerick, Cork and Galway by 2025. Reductions in staff numbers are expected to be initially at least voluntary and are likely to cost 40 million. It is understood, but RTE has done voluntary redundancy before, and I don't believe it's ever reached its targets in that regard, so it remains to be seen. All of this is being done so the government will support RTE financially, because many of you out there, for some reason, or for one reason or another, have stopped paying your TV licence, and the government will only fund RTE the way they want them to if they have a plan to reduce overheads and what have you going forward. But anyway, that's the Irish Times. The Irish Independent this morning. Israel tanks took up positions at the gates of Gaza City's main hospital yesterday, the chief target in Israel's battle to seize control of the northern half of the Gaza Strip, where medics said patients, including newborns, were dying for lack of fuel. Did you ever think we'd get to a point in humanity, really, where a democratic Western-supported country would see hospitals as on the table, ambulances on the table in terms of attacks, babies dying because they've no fuel to run incubators, that is collateral damage, is it? Young children, two of which are pictured on the front of or inside the paper today, young kids that are, what, 5 or 6, 7, they should be heading off to school. But instead, they're dying, they're bloodied, they're covered in the aftermath of explosions, if they're lucky enough to be in one piece and have their limbs or to be alive for that matter. And it seems that it's okay. The appropriate reaction to that is say, listen, can you back off the hospitals a little bit, please? Don't use the bombs we've given you on the hospitals. Where did it come to a point where children, women, 4,000 children wiped off the face of the earth, 3,000 women wiped off the face of the earth? They aren't Hamas. Again, notwithstanding the incredibly horrendous attack that took place on Israeli soil at the start of October. But what's going on in this world that we kind of just carry on when that's happening to 4,000 children, 3,000 women? And the reason I identify them separate to men is because, you know, they are clearly not members of Hamas. That you can cut supplies, cut petrol, cut diesel, cut power, cut contact to a hospital, and we babies are having to be wrapped in tinfoil to keep them alive because their incubators have shut down. How is that in any way, you know, our Western leaders, can they sort of not strengthen their language a little bit in relation to that? I mean, that's not war, is it? What's your views on that? 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. Like, I couldn't look at that stuff going to bed because I would struggle to sleep. It's so horrendous what is going on. The Irish Daily Mail this morning, you'll know this as well because we all have to do our shopping. Shoppers are still being hit by high inflation in their supermarket baskets, which is adding almost €15 a week to grocery bills. The weekly shop now costs an average of €158. That's up from €143 a year ago, forcing families to hunt out bargains where they can. Take-home grocery sales in Ireland increased by 7.2% in the 4 weeks up to the end of October. The latest data from retail analysts at Kantar shows. I think the big boys need to start giving us a bit of money back, don't they? They're seeing reductions in their expenditure and it needs to be passed on to the consumers. The Irish Daily Star tells us that a man who admitted he admitted vigorously shaking his 10-month-old grandchild, leading to the child's death, has been jailed for 5.5 years. Chang Teng Wang, who's 58, of Melville Rise, Finglas, Dublin 11, admitted to Gardaí that he had vigorously shaken baby Sean in an attempt to calm him. Wang pleaded guilty to the unlawful killing of Sean Wang on August 15th, 2019. Imposing sentence at the Dublin Circuit Criminal Court yesterday, Judge Martina Baxter said Wang caused the most final and devastating of injuries to his grandson, which resulted in his death. And he got 5.5 years, which I don't understand. Maybe that is the sentence that fits that crime in the courts. Morally, it doesn't feel right. But I mean, if you did that to an adult, would it be different? Would you get a higher sentence, a lesser sentence? But 5.5 years for causing the death of that baby, 10 months old, just. A lot of to-ing and fro-ing in the political world in Britain, which seems to be kind of the norm lately. Just last month, Rishi Sunak boasted he was the candidate for change and vowed to fix 30 years of broken politics. This is The Mirror. By yesterday, the desperate PM had turned to a figure from the past, making David Cameron the newest Tory Lord so he could be appointed as British Foreign Secretary. The shock move came in a cabinet reshuffle sparked by the axing of Home Secretary Suella Braverman after her poisonous remarks on pro-Palestine peace marches and the homeless. Despite having 350 MPs to choose from for the role, Mr. Sunak was accused of scraping the barrel with the appointment of a former PM who was the architect of austerity and who plunged Britain into years of chaos with his Brexit referendum gamble, which he lost. You remember that indeed, and he's back again. And presumably, if he's not an MP, he doesn't face questioning or scrutiny, does he not? I don't know. But anyway. And lastly, if you're a coffee lover, enjoy your coffee. But I thought I'd read this in any case. It's in The Sun. A third of drinks from coffee shops contain more sugar than recommended daily, a study shows. The beverages and sweet treats sold by the likes of Starbucks and Costa exceeded the suggested 30-gram maximum. A milkshake and cake combo at Coffee Republic has 150 grams of free sugars, more than five times the recommended daily limit. So just keep an eye on that. Right. Now, the fallout from Storm Debbie here in the Northwest is becoming more clearer now, and we received this letter. We've been residents of this housing estate. This is in Dunfanaghy, by the way. We've been the residents of this housing estate for 7.5 years. During these years, there's been an issue with flooding 3 to 4 times a year. It usually occurs with a heavy rainfall and the surface water running from the main road, Pound Street, leading to Pert, pooling outside our home. At its worst, the depth of the water gathered outside our home is approximately 4 foot deep, making it impossible for us to leave our home, even by car. As we have 3 school-aged children and 1 at play school, it's vital that we're able to leave our home. On a few other occasions, and today, the 13th of November, this was not possible, and so our children remained at home. We've been in contact with the council on several occasions over the years, including an on-site meeting to discuss the issue. We've been fobbed off and told there was no money to fix this problem numerous times. As to our knowledge, there has been no quotation sought to fix this issue. The height of their solution to the issue when I rang them was to put road signs up warning motorists the area was flooded. Last year, after the flood water had not subsided, by the third day, we contacted Glenard Plant to pump away the water at our own expense. They took 10 tanker loads of water away. There is an electricity box outside our home on the estate that becomes nearly fully immersed in the flood water, and that can be seen by those of you who are watching the show today. It's fully immersed in flood water, which has also been brought to the attention of the council. Because of the sheer amount of water gathered, the sewers are also full of rainwater, leading to the sewer water overflowing, which no doubt is an environmental hazard. As I write this, the local fire brigade are pumping the flood water down Pound Street away from the flood area. This is the first time they've been called out for this, and Councillor Michael McClafferty made this arrangement for us. We are grateful for his assistance, but do question if this is an appropriate use of resources, especially if we were to take this route 3 to 4 times a year, which is quite considerate of them, suggesting that it really should not be up to the emergency services to deal with this on an ongoing basis. Councillor Michael McClafferty was mentioned there. He joins us on the programme now. A dire situation for residents, Michael. Explain it for those in Radioland. Explain it as much as you can, what the experience of these people is.
Yes, Greg, good morning, Greg and listeners. Yeah, basically the experience of these people is, as the photos show you, that you have there, and obviously the email articulate things very well there as well, what life is like for them. But basically these people yesterday in that estate there, both Dale and Lathani there, were effectively locked in their homes, just they couldn't get out. And they couldn't get out because the 4 foot of water outside. But as the email writes, this is an ongoing problem. It's been on a long time. It's been on whatever number of years now. It's finding very hard to get a resolve on it. My own view on things, a resolve would be got if money would be more freed up here, and if general infrastructure and if infrastructure in general would be freed up. At this stage, I don't think it's any secret to anybody, including Portdale there outside the state there in question, on down the road from that, where the fire service in fairness done their best yesterday and did do their best. They were there for almost 4 hours there dealing with the situation. There were two pumps going there, and we thank them very much and very grateful for doing that. But on the grand scale of things, there is a problem there, ongoing problem that myself and other colleagues are trying to resolve. But on down from that then, Greg, there's also problems there as well with the infrastructure there, with family paperwork and so on, etc. The reality is here, whatever happened in years gone by, and although Portdale's only up 7 years, even going back 6-7 years ago, things was happening then that is not acceptable. It's not acceptable today. It's not solving the problem. And part of what was going on then as well, possibly two smaller pipes at that time were going in as well, in the general area there as well. And now we have the problems that we have now. Although Portdale needs to get their own outside there, we have to get some sort of mechanism in place, Greg, to try and get the water pumped away from there. If drainage isn't going to work or such, we need to get some other technology or something there, a possible pump station, some station going. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest with you. I'm not an engineer, but we're going to a meeting this morning. We'll be talking about this. One actual miner from UK has been contacted as well via Facebook to myself about how they would see things, and again they've come back to the situation as well, possibly a sump situation, pump it out and so on, etc. But in Dunfanaghy in general, as myself and Don Marie talked about this there a few weeks ago as well, there was a couple of instances of flooding there in Dunfanaghy lower down from that as well, including up there at the same time as well, Greg. But the problem is here, until such times, we'll keep getting told funding, etc. is a problem. That may well be, but all across the whole situation now, all across Donegal, including Dunfanaghy, including Graceland, including Fulcarra, until the likes of the council, Donegal County Council and Ayres Water and authorities like this put the money into what's going on here, into the infrastructure, we're going to end up with more places getting flooded, more houses, as almost was the case yesterday, and different situations, albeit Dunfanaghy being the worst, Greg, to be fair. But until this happens, until money is found here and money is put into these places, and the authorities that be as well agree to upgrade the infrastructure, nothing's going to change. They're probably about maybe, roughly maybe 100.
Are these houses in a hollow, Councillor McLafferty? I mean, we are where we are, don't get me wrong, but was this a? Do you think this is was a interesting planning approval, given the fact that these properties seem to be sitting low down?
Unfortunately, where they are as such, there is a portion of them sitting where they are. They are effectively low down as such, yes, compared to sitting in a hollow, yes, all right, definitely. All right. They are in a hollow. But, Greg, this is going back, I don't know when exactly they were built now, probably roughly around 10 years ago.
I just think it's curious because they kind of found themselves in this position through no fault of their own. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you trust the system, don't you, that proper measures will be put in place to reduce the likes of flooding and what have you, yet here we are.
Well, here we are, yes, and you're 100% right. This is the problem for many people, unfortunately, with the people there at the minute, people elsewhere, and various estates and various houses elsewhere, all through the county at the minute, and it is just a big problem. But the problem is, I do believe myself, Greg, some of these problems could be sorted at local level, but that much tied up red tape and policy, the councils don't have the authority, the engineers don't have the authority to give the proper go-aheads as such. For example, our rivers drains all through the place, they're all clogged up more or less.
Yeah.
This has contributed a big part as well, the flooding down Cork, down Wexford, down that end.
I know, again, but just in terms of sort of more of immediate solution though to the issues for these families in Dunfanaghy, they're trapped in their homes, they're They yes. can't move three or four times a year. Is there no drainage system down there? I mean, the council surely is responsible, and this can't be allowed to go yeah. on, where 4 foot of water is lying around houses. So where is this water supposed to go away? Can the council not go down and say, we need to put in drainage, or there is no drainage, or the drain is blocked, or the pipes aren't wide enough? Do you know what I mean? This can't be beyond the good engineers that we have working in the county to say, right, they can't elevate these houses 20 feet into the air, so they have to come up with an engineering solution to stop this water flowing into this estate.
I agree with you, Greg. That's exactly what has to happen here. The engineers do have to come up with a solution. But as well as that, as well, going back to the engineer's point of it, Dunfanaghy is one of the towns, both uniquely as such, but other towns will be the same as it as well, suffering from historic problems going back to the early 80s. For example, and this feeds into as well to the situation.
But these houses weren't built in the early 80s, Michael. I'm not contradicting you, and no, it's not your fault, but you know, that power box that's 4 foot underwater wasn't put in there in the 80s.
No, I know that, Greg, but I'm getting to the point here.
Okay,
the point
ahead.
Is, the pipework in Dunfanaghy was built in the 80s, was upgraded in the 80s for around 800 houses. You're heading now upwards of clearly well over 2,000 houses, depending on the same pipework. Unfortunately, in around that estate there, on a matter of 100, 150 metres away from that estate, there is pipework there needs to be replaced.
Right.
At the moment, it is not getting replaced. And whatever will happen when that pipework is replaced, I am told if the pipework is replaced, from local knowledge, it would be a big help. It may not be the ultimate solution, but it would certainly be a help, and hopefully it would take away the situations like of yesterday that's happening several times a year that we are aware of, and it's very unfortunate. It's not fair. It's not fair for the people involved. All I can do as a local county councillor and to all other people that things happened yesterday as well is apologise from the bottom of my heart, but there's only so much we can do. If the powers that be are tied up in red tape, we are stuck down in the middle of such, Greg. We would love to...
What does the powers that be are stuck up in red tape? If I have a bath that's full of water, right, I pull the plug out and the water goes down the plug hole. Well, where is the red tape here? We've got people here who are paying their taxes.
Well, the problem is, Greg, the red tape is why we're not getting the funding to sort out the paperwork in the valley. That is the problem.
Okay.
So it's, to me, that is
so
red
there is,
tape.
So there is...
So,
sorry, I beg your pardon. So there is plans in place. Plans have been drawn up. The engineers have been outside on site. They've come up with an engineering solution to fix this problem, but they can't get funding to implement that. Is that what you're saying?
What I would say is that an ultimate plan may not be drawn up for.
How can you seek funding for a plan that's not drawn up?
Well, we can seek funding for what is. We need to seek funding, Greg, because we know what is wrong there. There is problems on down. Mm. There's not, as far as I understand, there's not a specific plan in place at the moment for outside the state.
But
there.
That's not red tape, you see. That's not red tape. That's foot dragging.
Well, Greg, as you wish to put it, but further down from that, 100, 150 metres away, where part of the big problem lies, all the town pipes are crashing into the one junction there, just down below Pounce, there's Flynn's Chemist there. They're all crashing there on wet weather and a wet day, etc. And then, as a result, then the water cannot get away. Mm-hmm. We have manholes, everything busting up, we have sewers rising. There is a problem there. The council are aware of it, the government are aware of it, and the funding is not coming as such to sort it out. And that's where things are needed, as well as an independent solution up to outside the estate there yesterday as well, Greg. I agree with you, yes.
Yeah. All right, and it shouldn't fall to the fair play to the fire service responding to the call, but it shouldn't fall to them, Michael. They're an emergency service. They're not there to fix the problems that poor infrastructure creates.
Yeah, I appreciate that too, Greg, as well. And like I said yesterday and today, we appreciate them coming out. I do feel myself, it's under the remit, but it is definitely a strain on resources. I mean, for example, God forbid if they were needed elsewhere. But for all I knew yesterday, Greg, when I made the call as well, they were needed there as well, because I did not know. I'm not an engineer. I'm not an electrician. I did not know when I see a money puller submerged in water if that's dangerous or not.
Yeah, it is an emergency. I'm not questioning them coming to help yesterday. What I'm kind of saying is that we shouldn't have to rely on them. And in fact, our emailer said the same. Okay. Well, listen. Hopefully, something is done. These things just can't be allowed to happen. Years and years ago, we had a coordinated office that sorted out where rivers need to be dredged. shocks needed to be cleared, drains needed to be cleared, sewers needed to be cleared. You know, if a landowner has water running onto the road, there was some enforcement of that. Now, all it is everyone's blaming each other and nothing's getting done, and it's the general public that seem to be picking up the pieces. It's hard to believe we've gone back so far when we were so advanced 50 or 60 years ago.
100%, Greg. We're further advanced 50 years ago than we are actually today. And that's the sad reality of it. And I believe the reality of it is as well, it's back again to the policies that are in place again of today at the minute in regards to infrastructure, drainage, sewage, so on. They're not fit for today's purpose, and the whole thing needs to be revamped as such policy-wise. Alongside that, the various towns in question that are under serious pressure at the minute, problems are happening, and something imminent needs to happen for those towns to get those pipework and networks and pumps if required. Possibly for maybe needed for down there. Pumps are required, put in place to get the thing sorted. We cannot continue. It cannot continue on with people and small children, children at a year and a half old, suffering like through no fault of their own.
God forbid there was a hospital appointment or a cardiac arrest or something that would require. Now, I'm sure access would be found one way or other. It wouldn't prevent that happening in such an extreme situation, but it is a problem. It shouldn't be this difficult. Okay, thanks for your time, Michael. I appreciate it. I really do.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Take care of yourself. You have a good day too. Councillor Michael McClafferty there. And plenty of you commenting on that situation. Keep them coming into us. All right, some of your comments here. I'm in my early 70s. I've never seen it so bad. I've walked to school, work on the same road for over 60 years. Never was it so bad. Never seen water in places where I see it now. They don't clear the shocks anymore. Is that not part of the problem? The council must stop allowing building on floodplains. Simple as that. Indeed, perhaps maybe that is no longer the case. You would hope, wouldn't you? Rivers are not blocked. They are mismanaged with trees cut and drains put in where they shouldn't be. Engineers are not river experts, ecologists are. Another, planning was obviously the problem in Dunfanaghy. The dogs in the street can see it. Too many houses built and people wondering why the planning inquiry laws on the minister's desk for 4 years. The main road into Falkara was terrible. Unless council staff can clear drains from pickup there, not going to get out with the shovel. Ask Michael about this, please. I don't think that's fair on the council staff either, but thanks for your comment. Anyone know what the road is like from Trenta to Letterkenny? I'm not really quite sure what the problem might be there. Anyone know? Let us know. The housing policy is also discriminatory, as landlords who house refugees pay no tax on the income they receive and don't have to register with the RTB. Thus, there is no incentive for landlords to rent to Irish people. Well, there is, because you'd get much more rent, even after tax, renting to an Irish family than you might using that 800 a month scheme. Is it 8 or 400 a month scheme from the government? Traffic tailbacked to the top of the dual carriageway again this morning going into Letterkenny. Don't see any changes with the lights. I'm afraid to mention those lights now at this stage. But lots of people having lots of time added to their day. If you want to comment on that, let us know. Right, Joshua is with us now. Good morning, Joshua.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks for joining us. Right, you are living in what area are you living in, if you don't mind saying?
We're in the sort of Lithnan and Gortley area.
Right, okay. And there's construction work ongoing. You're finding it quite disruptive.
Yes, it starts at about 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the evening. It's a rock breaker, which is constantly banging. It's beginning about 5 weeks now.
I was next to the house. It was probably, I would say, probably 3/4 of a kilometre away. The rock breaker was going on a Sunday morning. And it was actually quite disruptive, and that's quite some distance away. Your situation is much closer. Can you describe what it's like inside the house as it's going?
You could have listened, but they've actually just stopped as we started talking here.
Probably switched off to have a listen. But,
yeah, it's been going on for about 5 weeks now. We have rang the council, and in fairness to the council, they were very good. They were got in contact with us very quickly. They were in contact with the company, asked them to stop. So the company came out, took their decibel readings near our house. They said it was just acceptable, but the council took their own reading and said it wasn't acceptable and asked them not to start construction until at least 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. However, that's been completely ignored by the construction company.
And with a rock breaker, it's not necessarily actually the volume of the noise, is it? It's the I don't know if you're getting reverberations or it's the incessant tap 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 tap. Oh, there it's going now. I can hear it.
Yeah. So I work from home, and thankfully I do have sound cancelling headphones. But yeah, the reverberation is still going through your body. And of course, when you're having conversations with your clients,
are you indoors now? Are you?
Bang. I'm just in my kitchen, yeah.
Can you step outside, see if it's any louder?
Yeah, give me 2 seconds.
Just see if it's... I can hear it distantly, but I'm just wondering if it's any louder if you actually go outside.
Yeah, I'm at my back door now.
No, he stopped. Or she stopped. Right, anyway, we'll chat now and see if it comes back again. You're saying this is actually having an effect on your and your neighbour's mental and physical health.
Yeah, again, I rang you up because I was basically having heart palpitations this morning when I woke up.
Wow.
And I can't take it anymore. my next door neighbour, she works in the hospital night shifts, and she's been saying that she's just absolutely struggling with this. She's trying to sleep during the day and just can't.
And you also have a newborn on the way. Well, it's not newborn, a baby, an unborn baby at the moment, and you're concerned what impact it might be having on he or she?
Yeah, it's been 5 weeks now, and I know my wife is stressed from this. I wake up in the mornings and look across. She's got my sound cancelling headphones on, doing her best to reduce the noise. But yeah, it's becoming a bit of a concern to us.
Yeah, and the baby has its own ears, so... that's helping mum, but not necessarily the baby, which I'm sure is a concern for you. What do you see, Joshua, as a compromise here? Like, say, for instance, the neighbour who works nights, you know, this work is going to have to happen, I presume. It's going to require a rock breaker. But what do you think might be a fair compromise here?
Even just if they give us a realistic timeline of when this will end, and if they could maybe meet with the residents and decide upon a time when it is acceptable. As I said, we do have people working night shifts here, so we can't just do 9 o'clock in the morning, for example, to 6, which would be acceptable to me, but I know there's other people in the estate who are suffering because they're sleeping during the day.
Yeah, it's not easy. And, I mean, you have, I think, a genuinely, you have kind of like a relaxing way of speaking, Joshua. I don't think that's really telling the full story. Is it your tone of voice as to the impact this is having on you and your family and neighbours?
Again, we just have to accept and carry on. As I said, I just woke up this morning and was kind of broken. That's why I texted you guys to see if we could sort of highlight this to the company and see if they can actually acknowledge it.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to reach out to the company. We're going to reach out to the council and see what they have to say. Donna Marie has those details. We'll do that off air, Joshua, and see, even at the very least, get some sort of... I think at the very least, if you knew that it was going to end, you know, the third week of November or something, do you know what I mean? Maybe you could work with that, but you just are in a vacuum of no information at this point.
Yeah, it's just a continuous, and it's the limbo that's almost even more upsetting than the actual noise at this stage.
Well, let's see if maybe we can get to the bottom of that at the very least. Joshua, thanks for your time this morning. Best wishes to everyone, okay? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. No, I appreciate it, Joshua. 086 60 25,000. Are you living within earshot of that work? Let us know what you think. We got a text in here from a listener. I don't think it's a listener, though. On post, your parcel has just arrived at our depot with customs charge. And then there's an email address. Number of items 1, traffic number LL50963822 1E. Now, obviously, our text number is not being used for that. So there you go. Just another little reminder of that scam going around. A second one, gov.ie. You are eligible for a discounted electricity bill under the Energy Support Scheme. You go to gov-id-ie-online.com. So in the glance, it's supposed to look like govid.ie. That's what they're doing there. And if you've got your text a little bigger on your phone, you probably won't even see the online.com. And it invites you to open the link again, just to remind you, and maybe you can remind those that don't listen to the radio, don't open those links. That's not how that discount is going to be given to you, if that's what they're trying to get at. Just more scams. Gabriel joins us on the program now. Hi, Gabriel.
Hello, Greg. Hey, thanks.
I'm all right. Good to have you on the program. Right, you are in quite a bit of pain, aren't you? You need go tell us the story.
Well, I'm waiting to get a knee replacement, and my hip gave there in June, and I'm waiting to see a consultant in Letterkenny, and I was told it'll be over 4 years for us to see a ham.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put down as an emergency.
4 years?
That's the waiting list department told me that.
So it has been determined, Gabriel, and your doctor is convinced that you do need a knee replacement. And is it a knee and a hip replacement, or are you waiting to see a consultant?
We're both.
Yeah. And do you think you can tolerate the pain for 4 years?
I was told the hip's gone.
Right.
The knee's gone too. So, but Kingsbridge in Belfast is dealing with a knee. So there.
Yeah. But the hip's another story. Can you do both of them in the cross-border scheme, I wonder, Gabriel?
Well, the doctor in Liverpool reckons I should be seen by Kingsbridge too, if Letterkenny's refusing to see me.
Yeah. But 4 years, you've been told it'll be before you get to see an orthopaedic doctor in Letterkenny University Hospital.
Correct, that's what the waiting list department told me.
Right, okay. And did they put that in writing, or did they just tell you that's the kind of amount of time you can expect?
Told me that over the phone when I phoned them up to find out how long I'll be waiting.
Yeah. And of course, you even if you did get your hip done privately, you're probably going to have to try and find, I don't know what it is, 10 grand, something like that. I mean, is that doable for you?
Well, I'm a medical. I don't work on a medical here.
Yeah, I know you said that in the text, or I wouldn't have asked that private information, Gabriel. So, in other words, it's not easy for you to sort of come up with money and maybe even an extra 1,000 or 2,000, 3,000 that you might have to find to go and get this done privately in the north.
No, it's nearly impossible to do that.
Yeah. Okay. But the alternative is 4 years. Like, how does the hip affect you? I know people with bad hips, they struggle to get comfortable in a chair or even to sleep. Gabriel, is that your situation?
That is my situation. I can't sit too long. Bother lying.
Very stiff in the morning.
Well, you have to move or else the seat's open and the worse.
Right, okay. And, it's very frustrating, Gabriel, and I think there's many people in the same situation as you. You know, when I have opportunity to ask these questions, I will, Gabriel, and we hope that we can come up with some answers. But you know yourself, it's not just orthopaedics. It's in many disciplines across Letterkenny University Hospital, people are struggling for appointments or being given these crazy 3-4 year predictions to be seen.
I know that. But it's not them suffering.
Yeah, okay. Leave it with us, Gabriel. I'm sorry to hear what you're going through. I really, truly am. 086 60 25,000 if you want to add to that. Or had a comment in as it relates to the roadworks that's happening down in Donegal Town. Now, I spoke to two people in relation to this a couple of weeks ago. Honestly, I struggled to see what the fix was here. They're putting in a one-way system in and around Donegal Town and parts of Donegal Town. There's other work going on at the moment. And I couldn't really see how it was fixing any problem, because some of the problems really that cause issues in Donegal Town are double and triple parking. Effectively, the Diamond is a bus stop. And I would like to see those issues resolved and then see how everything else works out after that. But anyway, there's a massive bit of work going on at the moment. Trevor in Donegal Town says all traffic is directed to the Diamond and causing delays and confusion. The junction at the Glebe School is beyond a joke. And at Super Value, the old saying is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, comes to mind. I think locals should have their say and a meeting called with Donegal County Council representatives. Are you in and around the Donegal Town area? Do you support the work that's ongoing there? As I say, we spoke to two business people. Actually, it was a mayor and a business person who seemed to be of the view that this was positive work that needs to be done, and hopefully it would be an improvement. Right, we are joined on the programme now by Sharmina Karmat from the Donegal Indian Society. He's joining us to talk about Diwali and what it is and what's happened in Donegal to celebrate. Okay, Sharmina, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good, good, good. Right. Diwali, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's a very important time in the India calendar.
That's correct, yeah. So first of all, I'd like to wish all the listeners a happy Diwali. Actually, it's a Deepavali, we call it, because it's called an array of light.
Mm-hmm.
So the most important message of Diwali is, as you know, it's the festival of light. It's a triumph of light over darkness, good over evil, and knowledge over ignorance. That's what Diwali signifies, and that's why people here clean up their houses, light lamps all over the house, they put lanterns, they clean up the house, and it's like we want to welcome, it's like a new year, it's like Christmas for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the biggest festivals in the Indian calendar. It's celebrated all over India and people all around the world as well.
Is today the third day of Diwali? Have I got my dates correct? Because today is an important day for family, isn't it?
Yes, actually, Sunday was the most important day. It's celebrated for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So every day has a significance. So every day is important. But the thing is, it's all about us celebrating it together as a community and families. We, in Donegal, like all the Indian community, I'm just representing the Indian community.
Understood.
In Letterkenny.
Yep.
And we are planning to have a big celebration on the 3rd of December. It's in the Anne Greenan Theatre, and it's from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We'll be putting out the posters and selling the tickets soon, but we are just preparing all that right now.
What can we look forward to on the 3rd of December then?
On 3rd of December is going to be, there's going to be food, and there is going to be cultural events. It'll be dance, singing, music. It'll be a jam-packed afternoon of fun. And, you know, any Indian celebration cannot be finished without Indian food. So we're going to have Indian food.
And so I think those who don't, you know, there is a perception of people in Britain and Ireland eat a variation of Indian food. But dependent on where you are in India, north, south, east, west, there's a vast array of different types of foods to sample, I hope, Sharmina. But
as I say,
the likes of Britain and Ireland, we can have quite a narrow view of what we perceive to be Indian food.
That's right, yeah. But we're trying to please everybody. We'll have a cover north, south, all those kind of dishes together. And we want to give a sample of what people would like. We don't want to make it too spicy or something new. It has to gear to everybody's taste. So, yeah,
oh, no,
nice.
Stick the spice in, Sharmina. Really, you don't want to dumb the flavour down. Stick the spice in.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Right, okay. And this is, it's a really important festival celebrated by billions of people, or at least a billion people right across the world.
Yes.
How important is it now that your home is here, of course, Sharmina, as it is for your fellow members of the Indian community? But how important is it just to sort of have that, you know, connection with, you know, India, in that you're celebrating at the same time as the people of India are as well? Is it really important to the diaspora?
Yes, definitely. Because you see, the thing is, we have come all the way from India, but we want to keep our traditions. We want to give this information to our children. We want them to understand what Diwali is about. You know, it's staying connected with your roots. At the same time, you're fostering a sense of belonging, a pride in your heritage. And that's why we want to have Diwali celebration with our family. And community gatherings are very important, because it's a celebration away from home.
Mm.
You know, it's like you having Christmas in some other country, but you want to give your children what you enjoyed when you were younger kids.
Yeah.
So we're trying to do whatever we can in every small way. It's important for all of us. The awareness is important, and to inform, I think when they go to school, it's important for the wider community to understand what Diwali is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the other children in their school, when we celebrate Diwali, our children could give information to the other children, because we are living in a world where there's mixed cultures. And it's important that everybody understands each other culture and respects each other.
Okay.
You know, this is all what it's all about. Diwali is not about it's about embracing diversity. It's a fostering understanding. working together, and let us make the world a better place for all of us.
And the event in On Green On at the start of December, is that open to the wider community, Sharmina?
Yes, we'll have it all. We're going to have the tickets on sale, but we're going to sell it ourselves because it'll be difficult for us to control otherwise, you know.
Yeah,
so, yes, definitely we will let you know when we have the flyers ready. And we want everybody to come and sample a little bit of our culture.
And if I want to wish you good tidings, do I say happy Diwali, Sharmina? Is that how I would phrase
that? Thank you so much. And Greg, before I forget, the ATU had a Diwali celebration in the Silvatasi on Sunday.
Mm.
It was a wonderful afternoon. The ATU organized it. There were about 500 people, the ATU, Sligo, Galway, and the local ATU.
Brilliant.
Everybody was there. It was a fun-filled afternoon of nice food, and there was some nice performances as well. So well done to the ATU because they had a major crowd.
All right, Sharmina, as I say, happy Diwali, and enjoy the celebrations. And it's going to be a wonderful event, I'm sure, on December 3rd at On Green On. And we thank you for joining us today. Take care.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Happy Diwali. Bye-bye.
We'll be back with more after the news.